The Lord said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." God does not necessarily want you to be poor or living like a beggar on the streets with no clothing and no food. God promises to his children, "Seek me first, and these things shall be added unto you." They have their place. God provides for his children, but he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Now that's wise.
Welcome to the program today. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I trust that you will be blessed as we let the Bible speak from our Free Presbyterian pulpit. Continuing today, part two of being rich toward God. That was the word of the Lord to the rich fool, the man who thought he could build greater barns, live with ease and plenty, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow he would die. Little did he know that that night his soul was required of him, and he passed into eternity. He stood before God, but alas, he was not prepared. It is our responsibility to prepare for eternity. The Bible says, "Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." And every one of us will have to stand before God. Every one of us will have to give account. Every one of us will have to answer for our sin. And that's why we need a Savior. That's why we need the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Lord and our Redeemer. And I hope that you have a testimony of God's saving grace, of that miracle of salvation in your own heart when you were brought to put your trust and confidence in the name of the Lord Jesus. And it is that very hope that fills our hearts as we bring the message of the gospel today. We have Alan McGill to sing, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." And truly, there is none that loves your soul as the Son of God. And I'm calling you to consider putting your trust in the Lord as your Savior. Now, before we move to the message today, we're going to have Al to sing that, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus."
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and the darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
The Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And he spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods, laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." May the Lord bless this word to your heart as we turn now to the pulpit ministry on this very text, the need to take heed about riches.
Last Sunday evening, I told you about Daniel Petka. I was speaking over the men's retreat to... Well, he's married into the family. It's a bit of a marriage web. Vince Tallman's brother is married, has married Rachel Petka, who is the sister of the young man that died in the car accident that took place a few weeks ago. Vince was telling me the circumstances of that death. As I told you, they were traveling by car to visit a grandmother with his aunt. I learned this week that the aunt was the first person to arrive on the scene. She was already dead. Daniel was not. Daniel was still conscious. The woman who came upon the scene looked into the vehicle, saw Daniel, and saw a Bible that was probably in the glove compartment of the car and rolled out into the seat. She was a Christian. She took the Bible and began to read to Daniel. He had a lucid moment or two, and he mumbled in prayer, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." And then he died. Isn't it amazing that God would have a messenger, a Christian, to be with Daniel in his hour of passing? I also learned that last summer, Daniel was out in Africa building or helping in the construction of an orphanage. I learned that he was really bright for the Lord, and yet God called him home. Now, was he rich toward God, or was he counting on the riches of this world? I think we can have confidence. Well, firstly, he knew the gospel. He was willing to go and serve the Lord for the gospel's sake, that he was laying up riches toward heaven. He was making good use of his gifts and interest in Christ. Now, what about you tonight? If you were to meet death suddenly, do you have riches toward God? The Lord said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." God does not necessarily want you to be poor or living like a beggar on the streets with no clothing and no food. God promises to his children, "Seek me first, and these things shall be added unto you." They have their place. God provides for his children, but he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Now, that's wise. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things that he possesseth. I wonder tonight, is your house insured? You take out an insurance policy, you pay your annual premium, and you want to ensure that if anything happens to your home, whether it's fire, earthquake, flood, vandalism, whatever it might be, that you are covered. Your car, well, you need basic insurance, or you shouldn't be on the road at all. And then some people insure their car that even it gets a little scrape, that it will also be covered. Is your life insured? Now, a payout on life insurance policy is not really for you. It's for those that depend on you, because your income will no longer be there, and you may have those that need support depending on you. But let me ask you, is your soul insured? That's the big question. The big question is that your soul needs to be saved, because nothing can stop the appointment of death. And your passage into eternity is absolutely sure. Can you feel your heart beating right now? Let's just pause for about 5 seconds. There it is. Your heart is beating 4,800 times an hour, 115,000 times a day, 420 million times a year, 29 billion times in 70 years, the lifespan that God gives on average. Time's running out. Your heart's not going to beat forever. Death's appointment is sure. Have you ever heard about the man who had an appointment with death? He was working with a merchant in Baghdad. And he said to his boss, "I want to go down to the market today." So he gave him time off to go down to the market. And while he was there, he was jostled by a woman who was deaf. And he came back to the man and he said, "What's wrong? You look frightened." And he said, "I just met a woman called Death who said she has an appointment with me. Could you lend me your horse? I want to travel over to the city of Samara that I might be safe." And so the merchant let his servant take his horse and go off to Samara. Later that day, the merchant also went into the marketplace and he met the woman called Death. And he said to her, "Why did you scare my servant today so much? He came home out of his wits." And she said, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to scare him. I was just too surprised to see him in Baghdad because I have an appointment with him in Samara." You will not escape death's appointment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And the Lord said to this man who was talking to himself about building bigger barns and storing up treasures on earth, he said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee." And that's why Amos said, "Prepare to meet thy God." Now let me ask you, have you prepared? We're not talking about money. We're not talking about man-made insurance. We're talking about salvation. Have you asked the Lord to be your Savior? Have you confessed that you're a sinner, guilty, in need of the cross of Christ in your life? Man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things that he possesseth. Another reason why that is true, because those who trust in earthly things alone will lose all. Now, I want you to get these three things. This man lost his reason, he lost his earthly riches, and he lost heaven. He lost all reason because he died a fool. The word fool is absolutely opposite to discretion. He was not a wise businessman after all. He was moved by the love of money. And the love of money makes people do crazy things. The root of all evil is the love of money. Have you ever heard about the gold rushes, maybe up in Alaska or Barkerville? People who left the eastern states, provinces, and other parts of the world, they sold their possessions, they went into debt, they borrowed money, and they traveled across the country, they went to lay claim, to lay their stake to a claim that they might have a part in the gold rush. And they ended up bankrupt, without ever finding a thing. Many, many thousands of people. And because of their dire straits, they ended up in thievery, in crime, and wretched poverty. Thou fool, those who put their trust in earthly riches so often lose all. Paul said to Timothy, the love of money is the root of all evil. And the Christian is to flee these things, is to flee. Don't put your trust in earthly things. He also lost all earthly riches. Nothing was gathered in. No new barns, no new harvest. He lost it all. There is no man who can be rich for heaven by man-made things. Can't happen. Earthly things have no value in heaven. And then, of course, he lost heaven itself. He was not rich toward God. Did you see verse 21? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. That really is the application of the parable. The Lord gives the final word of significance here. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Some refuse to be a Christian because they think it will hinder their opportunities in life. Opportunity of career, opportunity of money making. Some think that to get ahead, they may need to remain free to lie, even cheat, do business the way the world does, because it'll cost you to be a Christian. And it may. There are those times when you stand upon truth and right principle, you may lose out. But if you're that type of person, the Lord Jesus said you are a fool because you lose all. You lose in this life, as so many do, and you lose in heaven. You're playing the fool. What if you get riches by these worldly carnal means? What if this man had built his bigger barns? What if he had, for a time, had years of ease and pleasure, still would meet the appointment of death? And so the real question is, are you rich toward God? And of course, those riches are in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 1:3, we're told about in him is all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. In the vault, the bank account of heaven, the Christian has opened an account in heaven. Our soul is placed there. Our eternal life is staked there. And we place our hope in the person of the Lord Jesus. Now that means I have to tell you what the Lord Jesus accomplished. The Bible says that through his poverty, he makes his people rich. The Lord Jesus gave up glory in heaven, communion with God. He came down to a filthy stable outside Bethlehem, born amongst cattle, the stench, the filth of the curse of this world, to make you rich. He, for 30 years, grew up in the place that was a nonentity in Nazareth. No one wanted to know about it. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? People said. Well, that's where the Lord Jesus grew up. In poverty, unknown, and labored at a carpenter's shop with his stepfather, Joseph. And then he took up his earthly ministry. And we know that he had not where to lay his head. He had no home of his own. He had no bank account. He had no riches. He had no army. He had no material things. But he laid down his life. And because he was God in the flesh, when he gave up his life on that cross. Now listen to me. This is the the gold of this message. This is where the value comes to play. And if you miss this, the story of the rich fool won't do you any good, because you're told to lay up treasure in heaven. How do you get rich for heaven? You need the merits, the saving grace and power of the Lord Jesus put to your account. That's called the transfer of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus put on the ledger, so that when your debts of sin are added up, that the righteousness of Christ cancels them out, and to your account is all the riches of heaven, all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, every Christian, every born-again Christian, everyone that has bowed the knee and said, Lord Jesus, I need you to be my Savior, enjoys those riches. And no matter what our earthly circumstances, no matter what our dire straits on earth, the poorest, most wretched, miserable person on earth could be rich in heaven. Is that you tonight? Now, I'm not wishing you to be down and out and penniless in this world. I'm not wishing that. The proverb says, ask for neither riches nor poverty. And God in His grace for the majority of people gives them everything they need. In fact, if you read down this whole chapter that we read, it talks about His provisions. Consider the lilies, consider the ravens, consider the sparrows, and how the Lord feeds them all. And He does supply so many needs. But the important thing is to be rich toward heaven, rich through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And as I've often preached, it only takes one drop of Jesus' blood to mark you redeemed, saved. But of course, for our Lord Jesus, it had to be the last drop, because it wasn't just His blood shedding, it was the death that gave the value to the atonement. Christ died for us in our place, and then we stand in His righteousness. Now, you've heard this tonight. I've had the privilege of preaching this to you, and I'm so thankful that you came to hear it. Be wise. This is an appeal. The Lord talks about this man who was a fool, that you and I would be wise. And if you make the decision that he made to build treasures on earth only, you're a fool. But if you lay up treasure for heaven, then you're wise. You're saved. You're safe. And you can end your life in this world, whatever date, time, or hour that appointment with death is, you'll be absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's to be rich. That assurance, money could never buy it. The millionaires and the billionaires of this world couldn't buy that with money. But our Lord Jesus bought it, and He offers it to you freely, without any cost, except to take up His cross and follow Him. Will you do that tonight? Boys and girls, teenagers, I'm calling on you tonight as well. Will you make the right decision here tonight to be a Christian, to store up treasure in heaven, to be rich toward God, and be sure you're saved? May the Lord give you power to make the right decision.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for joining with us here on the program. And today we just have a little quote from Mr. Spurgeon, who said, I would rather speak 5 words out of this book than 50,000 words of the philosophers. If we want revivals, we must revive our reverence for the Word of God. If we want conversions, we must put more of God's Word into our sermons. God's Word is like the wheat in the hand of the mummy, of which you have often heard. It had lain there for thousands of years, but men took it out of the hand and sowed it, and the bearded wheat, which has now become so common in our land, sprang up. So you take a divine promise spoken thousands of years ago, and lo, it is fulfilled to you. it becomes as true to you as if God had spoken it for the first time this very day, and you were the person to whom it was addressed. He also said, be walking Bibles. What great advice. And I trust that in this new year that we will each be in our own areas of life walking Bibles before men. Remember that our Bible is a bloodstained book. The blood of martyrs is on the Bible, the blood of translators and confessors. The doctrines which we preach to you are doctrines that have been baptized in blood. Swords have been drawn to slay the confessors of them, and there is not a truth which has not been sealed by them at the stake or the block, where they have been slain by hundreds. If the whole of us went to prison and to death for the preservation of a single sentence of Scripture, we should be fully satisfied in making such a sacrifice. And one more quote from Mr. Spurgeon. Precious book, I would say of you what David said of Goliath's sword. There is none like that. Give it me. You are marrow and fatness, honey and wine. Yes, manna of angels and water from the rock, Christ Jesus. Of all soul medicines, you are the most potent. Of all mental deities, you are the sweetest. And of all spiritual food, you are the most sustaining. Well, here's good reasons to get to our Bibles and dust them off and start into real earnest Bible reading and Bible study. And one of the best things we can do is just to memorize the Scriptures. Let that word dwell in you richly. And by taking the word verse by verse, memorizing, getting that committed to memory, is a life-changing experience. And you will learn the power, the life-transforming power of the living Word of God. And I trust that you'll do that now at the beginning of this new year. Make it a daily habit to read and memorize the Scriptures. It will indeed transform your life. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.